Most colleges and universities have addressed the recession by continually reinventing themselves. The challenges include not only funding cutbacks, but also demographic and social changes, and a demand for new programs to help support jobs and development for an uncertain future. It's enough to test the imagination of any institutional team, and leadership is key. Northern Michigan University's chief executive for the past 8 years, Dr. Les Wong, is moving to a new post, and we'll review the record and observations on all these issues just ahead on Media Meet. Welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guest is former Northern Michigan University President Les Wong. With me on the panel, Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindela and Mining Journal reporter Jackie Stark. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Dr. Wong, you've accepted an offer to take the helm at San Francisco State. I've read the average tenure of a university president is about 6 years. You gave 8 years to NMU. Yet the question I've heard most across the community is, why leave Northern?
Phyllis and I have been thinking about that a lot lately as we've moved through the community and everyone's been asking us that question. You know, the decision to move really is a couple different things. You know, the university here at Northern is on a great path. The relationship with the community is terrific. The partnerships we have with Duke Life Point coming down the road, Pioneer Surgical, whole issue of enrollment seems to be stabilizing a lot more, and the economy is picking up. It's you know, you want to pick a good time to move on, and right. You know, I could have rode the wave and been very happy here, yeah. But an opportunity to run one of the premier schools, you know, in the country came before me, and I thought, you know, is this an adventure that you just can't pass by? Is it something that you have to kind of ask yourself, can I do this? You know, is it something that is in the game plan? And it was such a great opportunity. It was hard for us to look away and stay here at you know, in Marquette, which would have been fine.
Okay.
But the opportunity was terrific.
I was just real curious quickly to tie into that. I know it's kind of where you're from, your area as your youth. How much of a factor was that for you as you are, you know, continuing on with your career but also getting closer to home, so to speak?
It was an opportunity to go home. I left Oakland 40 years ago to get an education and to see the world. My mentors at that time said that it might be good for me to spread my wings. And clearly, Phyllis's family is from Livermore in the Bay Area as well. And so it was a very good opportunity to not only to take on a much bigger job, but also to go home.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened here at Northern. After you came on board in 2004 and sort of got to know the state, you said a funding gap and formula funding issues would force Northern to fight every year through the legislative funding process. The gap, I believe, referred to higher state funding per student compared to peer institutions. How significant a difference are we talking about there, and have we closed that gap any?
Well, people are much more aware of the gap. I think there are two levels to the answer. One is the growing difference between rural and urban campuses. And, you know, and across the country, and particularly in Michigan, the question of how you equitably treat rural campuses compared to your urban centers is not going to go away. The needs are different, the niches are different, the kinds of students you get are different, and a state like Michigan is going to have to confront that. I think the other thing about the gap that people don't realize is Northern, we've been able to get a lot of one-time money, and it allows you to take care of the physical plant, to take care of putting a skin on the dome, putting roofs on the building,
sure.
But you never get a chance to invest in people. And so the gap really is on the human side, that we've not been able to invest in salaries for faculty and staff. We've not been able to keep up with our investments in the human talent that's going to really boost and help Northern in the future.
Had you seen a similar gap at Valley City State University in North Dakota, where you came from before?
Well, indeed, because in North Dakota, the gap there was really between the more rural campuses in Fargo and University of North Dakota up in Grand Forks. They were able to maximize their doctorate programs, graduate programs, and a place like Valley City State with much smaller scale. We barely had 1,000, 1,100 students. Mm-hmm. It was very, very challenging. You lose one student, and it made a big difference. You know, at Northern, you lose 100 students. It's equivalent. Okay. At San Francisco State, you lose 1,000 students, and that's about equivalent.
Okay. Jackie?
As you look at moving from Michigan to California, I think if you say the phrase struggling economy in the state sense, people think of those two states. And I was just curious to see how your experience at Northern would factor into how you're going to do things over in San Francisco.
When I met with the board, the California State University board, they asked me about that, and I said, well, you know, I never want to brag that having 8 to 10 years of experience in Michigan prepares me for the conditions in California, but it does in a sense. The biggest difference is the auto industries are so dominant in everything that's related to the car industries in Michigan. And when you go to California, the eighth largest economy in the world, it's much more diversified. You have high tech. You have agriculture, you have manufacturing, both light and heavy, and the scale of it is so much larger. And so the difference might not be so much in the type of problem, but in the scale of it, which is much more dramatic. But it's also on the differences are on the recovery side as well, that when you're hoping that the economy rebounds, there are probably more diversified resources in California to help it come back faster. Than what we're experiencing in Michigan.
How about in terms of the political battles that you've gotten probably pretty good at here, fighting in Lansing for higher education funding for Northern? What do you take from that, and what do you think will be the similarities and some of the differences politically in California?
You know, that's a great question. Luckily, I'll be part of a system of 23 campuses, which obviously is a major employer throughout the state of California. A lot of the legislative work is done by the chancellor out of the central office. And so, in a way, I get to have 40% of my life back that I don't have to spend as much time in the Capitol. Although 23 presidents, very experienced, you know, is a good team to take to Sacramento. So that's a very, very big difference. The campus politic in San Francisco will certainly be much more intense. It's a major city. It's a major port city. It's a major city on the Pacific Rim. So there'd be a lot more attention to the kinds of students that we graduate, the kind of involvement that students have in the activities within San Francisco. So I think the intensity just steps up.
Are the students more, do you feel, or I imagine the experience will come more with the time you're there, but how involved do you feel the students are there at that campus in issues like their cost of their education?
Well, California did a much better job of sustaining their support of students as well as maintaining access and affordability. It still costs a lot less to go to university in California at the CSU level than it does here in Michigan.
Speaking of students, college debt now exceeds homeowner debt in America, and financial aid measures always seem to be edged out by increases in tuition and fees. You seem to have found little help in recent measures taken by President Obama to ease student expenses. Why is that, do you think, and what would be more helpful?
I'll have to give President
Northern's case.
Yeah, I'd have to give President Obama some credit. He has been able to keep the level of the Pell Grants at their current $5,500 student level. There was a lot of talk of lowering that. Mm-hmm. He's been able to sustain the interest rate issue, and that's probably more symbolic than financial. But he's really shown that the way for an economy to grow locally is to invest in higher education, to maintain access to the universities. In Michigan, you know, there's some difficulties. You know, it's not been a secret that states like Michigan and California invest far more in prisons than they do in higher education. Right. Michigan got rid of the promise. There's been, you know, I just think there's been, it's been too easy to reduce the higher ed budget and not see it in the context of a recovering economy that you need talent. And so one of the differences to your question, Jackie, is California didn't have a brain drain of young people. 90% of San Francisco State's 35,000 students are from San Francisco, and the demand is still high. One of the biggest effects in Michigan is students, the best students are leaving, and the average students are leaving, and people with bachelor's degrees are leaving Michigan. So you had this population decline, and that's been very dramatic.
I seem to recall that you've advocated for having more education funding follow the student rather than institutions. This is a popular idea among conservatives, but I realize there are various approaches to this. Did I get that correct, or... how would that work?
I did. Well, you did. A couple of years back with the recovery monies and TARP monies that came out, Northern was given the choice of using our allotment for infrastructure repairs, that kinds of things, right, or we could give it to students. And I recommended that we just give the whole pot to students. I think the mission of a public university is access and affordability. And we could find the money to take care of the grounds and those kinds of things. But students and their families needed support in the teeth of the recession, and we did that. We got into a little bit of trouble for doing the right thing, but the legislature and the governor understood that, so it
they
turned out fine.
They eventually saw it your way. Mm-hmm. One thing about operating budgets during your tenure at Northern, they haven't changed that much. They've run from $94 million to about $106 million. Enrollment has been mainly up through most of that period, little dips occasionally, and tuition and fees have gone up virtually every term. What's missing from that account in terms of effort to run Northern, as you say, up to potential and make it affordable?
Well, one has to really understand and confront the notion that tuition increases are almost dollar per dollar a direct reflection of the disinvestment of the legislature and the leadership.
Okay.
Had, you know, Michigan made some commitment to students and to operating budgets, even at inflationary levels, I think the budgets would have been far better shape for the universities than they are currently. So I think what you see in tuition increases are a direct replacement of the disinvestment of appropriations from the state. The real heart and soul of the issue in Michigan is base funding. And when base funding continues to erode, you know, you can't invest in people, you can't invest in programs. As I said earlier, one-time funding helps you do short-term things. But when you are given the opportunity to start a new program or to make a decision, tough decision, to eliminate a program, you know, it takes years to start up and get something going. It takes years to you know, cut yourself free from programs that are doing less than what you want them to do.
Okay.
You can't make programmatic decisions year to year. And so you're stuck in this limbo of a slowly decaying base funding, and yet, you know, one-time funding that always makes people feel good that you're investing. But in terms of academic programs, it's pretty hard to change the direction of the ship or offer new programs when you don't know what the future is going to be like.
Speaking of the future, when the 14 university presidents in Michigan met with Governor Snyder as he came into office, I recall you saying something to the effect of things are going to be better long term. Mm-hmm. Do you still feel that way?
I really do applaud the governor. I think he's done the right kinds of things. I think all of us regretted the 15% cut to the universities last year. But I think he stuck with his promise, and he said, you know, that might be the last time. And now with performance funding, it looks like Northern will get somewhere close to 3% returned. But I think the recovery of the auto industry, I think the acknowledgement that the ag sectors of Michigan are going to be a significant player.
Yeah, they need to be exploited more.
I think they're going to be exploited. And I think that bodes well for the UP and the ag areas of Michigan. So I think the direction is the right one. Okay. And I think the slow growth is indicative of that.
Let me take just a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners, we're talking about the last 8 years at Northern Michigan University with former Northern Michigan University President Les Wong. With me on the panel, Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindela and Mind Journal reporter Jackie Stark. Go ahead.
Technology. Major player here at Northern over the last several years and under several administrations. We've seen a lot of advance, obviously some good recognition with the visit from President Obama with the WiMAX program. What do you take from the technological advances that have been done here at this smaller school and bring to a larger school like San Francisco where you're headed?
There were two purposes that historically were quite successful for Northern, and both had to do with eliminating the digital divide.
Yeah.
The laptops allowed everybody to come in and start on equal ground. You know, the student with the biggest toys didn't have an unfair advantage. It was rational and logical that all of a sudden, with wireless becoming so powerful and cell phones and, you know, iPhone kind of things becoming powerful, that the network became the next big thing. And that eliminated the digital divide so that students off campus didn't have to spend more money buying commercial digital services. And it's technically, you were still on campus. And I feel extremely proud to be able to say that we were able to do that. The next frontier will be apps, you know, smartphones. How do you continue to use the online world to be the base support for an on-campus experience? When you interview students, adults and younger students, they still want face-to-face. They still want to be on campus. And so the issue is, how do you bring both of those dimensions to bear on a campus experience? San Francisco State, sitting right north of Silicon Valley, there's a big interest in some experiences that I've had in bringing wireless systems and laptop systems to San Francisco State's campus. And it certainly doesn't hurt to have Silicon Valley less than 10 miles away to help you out. San Francisco, Mayor Lee has done a great job of luring big-time businesses to San Francisco. So Twitter's headquarters are now going to be 4 miles from campus. There's a lot of resources sitting around us.
Okay. Jackie?
As you leave Northern to move to San Francisco, you've got an interim president, and there'll be a search for a new president in some time, and you've got the interim provost, and you also have the athletic director, and there's the searches for those two positions, for the provost and the athletic director. How are those going?
One of the attributes of Northern is that all of the candidates have stayed in the pool. And they would only have done that if the campus had high value, high potential, a lot of creativity, and can-do people. If we were anything but that, the candidates for the AD and the provost would have said long ago, don't count me in. But I think when you look at the asset package, as I call it, at Northern, it's a huge attractor, you know, to a lot of talent. And so you have those searches, I'm hoping that they get done. I had given my recommendations to the board at the May meeting. I gave them to the interim president, David Haynes, a couple weeks back, and I briefed him on you know, what I knew and had recommended to the board. So I'm hoping that he and the board will bring those to closure soon. But it's a testament to the quality of the campus here that some very talented people are willing to be patient as the changes occur here.
And how do you see going forward? There were several initiatives that you were working on in the last few years. You've got an enrollment issue, and you're trying to combat that with your 4-4 plan. Mm-hmm. And Duke Life Point's happening. You're trying to build kind of a relationship. If that goes through, how do you see that going forward as you leave and there's new leadership at Northern?
Well, I feel very proud of the fact that Gary Muller and I have been able to sit down and lay out some ideas and plans that once the deal is settled with Market General and Duke Life Point, those pieces can fall right into place. And so that the challenge of new leadership isn't the question of how and why, but the question is, what do we do now? You know, let's get these pieces done. So in a way, that helped me make my decision about San Francisco, that you know, Gary's leadership, the leadership that's on campus, that very big event with Duke LifePoint can move ahead in a very positive way. The 4-4 piece, I think, is in the hands of some very good people, Cindy Pavla, Cherry Daniels. You know, again, what made it easy for Phyllis and I to decide to leave was that the reputation of the school is such an attractor to the regional student population that they're now going, President Obama went there. Maybe there's something happening, or, you know, there's a wireless situation going on. Maybe I ought to be thinking about staying local. So I feel pretty good about that.
You seem like you are very comfortable with taking this challenge and also leaving. Obviously, it seems like you do. You've made it very clear you feel things are in good hands, that, you know, you're comfortable with leaving. But you mentioned the president. I remember that shortly after President Obama had visited, I think you came on our show, and we kind of made a joke about it, that you came on board here and President Bush came along, and then while you're here, President Obama, get a couple of presidents to come to the university. It seems like for a small school under your watch, there has been some pretty key things that have happened that have helped the legacy of the university. What is, in your opinion, your legacy as you leave?
I think you mentioned one of them that I feel very, very, very good about, and that's the stature and the reputation of the school has taken on just a much larger footprint. Clearly, WNMU-TV and WNMU-Radio and all the WUPX, all of those things have expanded the notoriety, the attention that the school deserved. And I feel very good about how that's occurred. I feel very good about taking the reputation of the school to Washington, D.C., and to creating a lot of bridges to the White House, to Congress. And those bode well for that. I also take great pride in the student experience. Under my time, the Superior Edge program was created and got going with Dave Bonzel and Rachel, and the student leadership program under John Bartsch is just, again, robust and continuing to excel. Despite 8 years of budget reductions, the quality of the student experience is still high. Students come here and they go, wow. I mean, whether you're from Detroit or whether you're from New York City, you discover a special quality here. And we did our best to sustain that student experience, and I feel pretty good that it has not been tainted or reduced or compromised in any way. And so I feel very good about that.
I think you touched on something that was would seem to be more significant than people may realize right now about student and community interaction, or the student's experience, if you like. NMU's Superior Edge program was a direct effort to foster leadership, diversity, and community service. That put a lot of people in contact with Northern students, a lot of Northern students in contact not only with people in the community, but with experiences they never would have had, probably. Has it delivered what you expected, and what's the future, you think?
One of my goals and one of the charges given to me in 2004 was to not only repair but reinvigorate the university's connection to the community. And Phyllis and I think, have done that. I think that the connection between the campus and the community is an excellent one. And again, that can move forward in very positive ways. You know, the Superior Edge has put 100,000 hours of student contact into the community. I've been told that we're approaching 200,000 hours of student work in and around Marquette County. It's hard to walk away and go, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know, that's the presence of our students doing meaningful work in the community makes the university much more attractive and more positive in people's perceptions about what we do. There isn't that ivory tower, oh, they're doing strange things, you know, on the north end of town. But they feel like it's their university.
And it ties in with directed studies, too, so it has some academic effect as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The whole growth of, in fact, the more subtle thing is the whole growth of service learning and active learning in courses and in programs doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's hard to open up a course at Northern and not see some kind of community involvement. Yeah.
And now the campus is enlarged way beyond Marquette thanks to the WiMAX network. You've got, what, 5 cities now?
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's 40 square miles,
40 square miles
of contact area because of wireless internet mm-hmm. contact. That must have some effect on communities around us in terms of their relationship to Northern, that NMU is not just Marquette anymore.
That's correct. And in fact, we've started a discussion now to explore whether WiMAX is a way to cover the entire UP.
That would be amazing.
And we've been talking to Bay and Bay Iron Mountain and Gogebic and the Sioux mm-hmm. and just sort of starting a discussion saying, you know, might we work together, to increase, again, a very rural and remote area into a single educational network. And I'm hoping that the leadership at Northern will take that up, because I think that might be the next big idea.
Communities across the country have talked about making wireless connectivity a common utility, the way most people would think of an ordinary utility like water or sewer or anything like that. It's become so important to, you know, in terms of contact between people. Do you think this sets WiMAX might set a standard or encourage communities themselves to engage in this kind of activity? Enlarge the entire network of the UP.
You can't put this back in the box.
Yeah.
Our students always tell me that once they graduate, their biggest regret is that wherever they move to, they step down in wireless connectivity and that kind of thing. But you're hearing more and more discussion of LTE, 5G speeds, Internet 3 and 4. I really think that's going to become the next backbone to the economy. You can't have a place like the UP with intermittent cell phone service. It's just not going to work. You know, the governor signed a bill yesterday, to expand wireless phone service in rural areas. I think it's going to be an expectation. And if an area wants to improve economically, the first thing companies are going to ask is, how much broadband do I get?
Yeah. We've got about 30 seconds here. What do you think you're going to take with you that's going to mean most to you as you leave the Upper Peninsula to go to California? What is it about the UP that you think you'll remember most fondly?
You know, I have to tell you, I've thought about this a lot. But I think the genuineness of the people, being myself, has been such a heartwarming thing that as I go to the big city, as they say, there's a propensity for the intensity of the city to steal that humanness away from students. And what the students have told me in San Francisco is, oh my goodness, you're like a real person. And I said, you know what, that's what I learned in the UP, and what I learned at Northern is your genuineness is the best business card you could have. And I learned it here.
Okay. I'm afraid we have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about the past 8 years at Northern Michigan University and related issues with former Northern Michigan University President Les Wong. With me on the panel, Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindela and Mining Journal reporter Jackie Stark. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.